Hello, and welcome to Aging Well, Finding Beauty in the Gray. I'm your host, Hugh Willard. Aging Well is a podcast for everyone in or approaching the retirement years. There's a lot to unpack here, apart from the financial planning component, and we'll do just that. We'll explore new interests, priorities, and goals, and finding purpose for ourselves and in our relationships. Join me each episode as I share stories and chat with guests learning to live their best next act lives. Welcome back, everyone, to Aging Well, Finding Beauty in the Gray. Santa Warren Keys had a circuitous route to becoming the original Santa just like me. Judy, Warren's wife, and he started noticing that once his beard got more gray than black, kids would sometimes stop and ogle him, especially around the end of the year. A friend of theirs who had been a Santa for years commented that Warren might enjoy being a Santa. Then one day, out of the blue, while doing some last-minute Christmas shopping in the mall, Stafford Braxton, acting on a new business idea to bring a Santa of color to a mall, approached Warren about being a Santa of color for kids in the area and being a part of their family portrait history. And the rest, as they say, is history. For the past 10 years, Santa Warren Keys, Stafford Braxton, and the crew at santasjustlikeme.com have traveled North Carolina and Virginia, igniting and sharing in the excitement and anticipation of the magic of Christmas to little kids and big kids alike, especially those of color. Santa Warren Keys, it is a pleasure to have you on. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much, Hugh. Let me get that out of the way.
I love that. You've been bringing the spirit of Christmas to many over the past 10 years. As mentioned in the introduction, you got a loving nudge from your wife, Judy, then a friend, and then Stafford Braxton. What was your vision for this in the beginning, and how has it changed over time?
Well, it actually sort of came as a surprise that this was actually going to happen. So my plan in the beginning was to, well, not make myself look silly and hopefully have some good time and enthrall some kids about Christmas. Because, well, when I was growing up, Santa was very special to me. And I retained those memories over those many years and thought, boy, that would be great to try to recreate that time that felt so special to me when I was growing up. And, you know, as I say, I hadn't really thought about it. So the first part was just not to embarrass myself. But then later, I got to be whether I felt like I was doing a pretty good job, and I've got great feedback from folks over the years. So now it has crystallized into making that moment with Santa the most special time in their lives that year. So that's sort of the goal that I have in mind now, to be special.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You and the other Black Santas travel all over North Carolina and Virginia. Can you share some of the different events that you all cover?
Oh, yes. Well, we have the what you might call the traditional Santa at the mall appearance, though for the first time ever, we did get a mall outside of Charlotte last year. But we do a community center in Durham, North Carolina, Hayti. So it is in a renovated church. So, you know, we have places for people to come and sit. And up on stage is where the kids come and sit with Santa and have their conversation and share what they like to get for Christmas and lots of other wonderful stories and nuggets about their lives that really enrich the season for me. And hopefully by them sharing with me helps their season go well. I've also been Santa in the Durham Christmas Parade. I hold that with high honor. I thought that was great to do.
Wonderful.
Had a blast doing that. Caused a lot of excitement in the community, and with people claiming that, oh, there's a first African American Santa in Durham, and apparently I'm not the first, but the first in recent memory, I suppose. So I'll take that. I appeared last year at the grand opening of a photography studio. She had an event where she invited some of her clientele to come in and have photographs with Santa. So that was really special. And people brought in their tiny babies, and of course they'd drag in their teenage kids as well just to get a picture with Santa. So all different events. We've done corporate events where a company throws a party for their employees and, you know, Santa shows up. We also do family visits, a Santa buddy visit, we call, where it may be just a one-on-one with the child and parents and Santa, or it may be a group of neighborhood kids or, you know, kids of some organization. In fact, there is a triangle, biracial children or families of biracial, well, I guess you'd call it biracial families, yes.
Sure.
And they had an event where Santa of color came to someone's house and gathered and sat around the fireplace and sang and just had a really good time. So yes, Santa gets really busy around this time of year, for sure.
Oh yes. Oh yeah. You mentioned the Hay-Tai, the community center. For folks who are mm-hmm. not in the area in Central North Carolina, Hay-Tai is an historic African-American community in Durham, North Carolina. And so it's wonderful that this is an opportunity that you all could be a part of.
Oh, yes. And the popularity there just seems to grow each year, where people get more and more excited about when Santa going to be at Hay-Tai. So it's nice to have, you know, a central spot where people do know that you're going to be there, because some of the real special things that occur is a child who walks up and says, "Do you remember me from last year?" Then, of course, Santa does. But I've had kids who come to me for 5 and 6 years, in a row, and I've been their only Santa. So that's very special to them and me. I mean, they just come up and run up and give me the greatest, biggest hug, because they've known me for years, and it's just a special bond.
Well, and that's kind of rolling into the next question, you're sort of speaking to it, but I'm wondering if you have some other thoughts. Any favorite memories, any particular special memories over these past 10 years for you?
There are so many moments that just light up the season for me. It's hard to grasp onto any particular one, but I tell you what makes me so much excited when I'm with the kids. When I typically like to sort of ask a few questions about school and that kind of thing, if they're of school age, and I love to ask, what particular subject or activity at school do you enjoy? And the thing that brightens my day and gives me hope for the future is that so many of the minority kids that come to me say that they're interested in math and science and history and things like that, that, you know, requires some good brain power. And, you know, I'm not putting down kids who want to be in the NBA and the NFL. I understand that. I had those similar dreams when I was coming up myself. But just to see the spark in these young kids' eyes with subjects of academia that sometimes in our popular culture are not associated with folks of color. And that is just so exciting to me. And between you and me, Hugh, what I like to do is ask those loud enough so that the parents hear that I'm trying to encourage their intellectual growth. Because if a kid tells me that they would like to be a mathematician or a scientist, I get giggly happy and tell them that I want to see an article about their greatest discovery in 10 years from now, just to give them maybe a goal that they hadn't even thought about. But I really enjoy the enthusiasm for the future of these kids.
So, Santa Warren, I am listening to you. And as I'm doing that, I have this image in my mind of this wide-eyed young child, boy or girl, mm-hmm. sitting on your lap or standing next to you, whatever it may be, and you're saying what you just described to me. I want to see an article about you in another 10 years. And I just see these wide eyes, and knowing that that is a memory that is happening in real time. That is a memory. And hopefully there's going to be other supporting kind of experiences for them. But, you know, I just, and this is about the kids more, you know, it's not oriented to you. It's about the kids,
right.
But
absolutely.
I can see, you know, one of these, this child that's in my mind talking with someone, whether it's informally, you know, in 10 years time or in a speech or a graduation ceremony or whatever it may be. And they're saying, when I was 9 years old, I went to this, you know, I went to the mall or I went to this, you know, party or whatever it was. And I saw this Santa who looked like me. And, you know, and I just said, you know, maybe I'll be a mathematician or a scientist. And I like those things, but I didn't know, you know. And what he said to me just gave me the confidence and, you know, the belief in myself. And then I found it in more places and more settings. And I really got serious, and I'm always going to remember that Santa Claus. You know, I don't, maybe I know his name. Maybe I remember Santa Warren, or maybe I just remember it was Santa, you know, but you know, I've got that memory. That's a beautiful thing.
That is, he just made my Christmas season.
Well, and you and I were talking off air a few minutes before we started the podcast, and we are chatting. We are recording this before Thanksgiving. It will be aired in the middle of December, but we're talking before Thanksgiving, and you were sharing with me that in the past you have sort of held out to doing these events, you know, after Thanksgiving, which I can appreciate that, you know, wanting to kind of have some sort of you know, sacredness to the holiday, and you know, and not, we all have stories about how Christmas is stretching earlier and early, and it always is that way. But this year is a little different. So you actually you're getting pulled in a little bit before Thanksgiving. So you've got an event coming up, or you know, by the time this airs, it will have already happened. But tell us about what's this event that's coming up for you before Thanksgiving.
Well, this event is coming up very soon. As a matter of fact, it's tomorrow, but of course it'll be past when you actually hear this. But it's an event that involves the I think it's the Black Farmers of Durham County.
Okay.
And so their families are going to be gathering at Durham Tech
Community College. Durham Tech Community College, right. Yeah.
Yes, Durham Tech Community College. And that's going to be my kickoff event for the year. And like I was saying earlier, I had this admonition about Santa staying in his lane. Of course, I've seen gifts with that, you know, where the Thanksgiving turkey is fighting Santa to stay in his lane. You know? So it's that conflict. But, you know, for us, as far as Santa's just like me, it's good that people want Santa, and they know now to try to ask for him early, because sadly, sometimes we just can't fulfill all of the requests, and that's always a sad time. Santa says no, you know.
yeah, my goodness, yeah. And of course, the Santas like me, there are several of you now that are a part of this this outfit. So you guys are, I know you stay really busy during the season.
Yes, I think we have maybe 6 or 7 Santas just like me. Some are, like I say, some are based in North Carolina. Some actually in, I think we have 1 or 2 in Virginia. We actually have a Santa out of Louisiana. And then I believe we have someone in the Denver area, Denver, Colorado. So we're starting to spread out. Yes.
I love that. I love hearing that. Well, and now I'm going to pivot, and I will say it is depressing for me to ask you this next question. This is the season of joy and celebration. And yet, we know racism remains a blight in our society and in the larger world. How have you responded in situations where there are slights and scorn?
I hope I have responded as a mature adult. frankly, in my personal experience as being a Black Santa, I must honestly say, I've had very few encounters that were negative. Most of them were, as you put it, slights, you know, where people glance over and say, oh, that's not the Santa I'd like. And then, you know, they quickly kind of go the other way with their kids. I know that Stafford has this sad story one time of a kid coming, running up, turning the corner and seeing Santa there, of course, in the mall, and, you know, getting ready to run. And mom looks over and says, oh, son, that's not the kind of Santa we like. And so the kid is now, you know, disappointed that he saw Santa and he couldn't go over and engage with them. So it's sad. It is a fact of life. But if we can respond in loving ways and not get our feelings hurt or get up all upset, then I think we can handle it better than and just be mature, warm, loving adults, as we're called to do. I mean, after all, this is Christmas, right?
yes, it is. Yeah. So. Yes, absolutely. Well, you mentioned Stafford, and I actually think I saw in the trailer for this documentary the thing you were describing. This documentary is called American Santa. Can you tell us more about the American Santa documentary?
Well, yes, that's quite exciting. The guy who wrote and produced it, his name is Avi Zev Weider. And apparently he has won some awards with previous documentaries. I think his typical subject matter are short documentaries. And this particular one, American Santa, does a kind of a deep dive into the operation of Santa's Just Like Me. And it presents us, you know, getting ready for our big day in the chair and interviewing with several interviews with several Santas. And it does also show some of the bad stuff that we encounter. And Stafford, of course, he has his social media presence and sort of open all the time, as social media is. So he receives sometimes some pretty disturbing phone messages from people. And some of them you think maybe, oh, they're just kids thinking they're having fun. But then, you know, even if it's kids thinking they're having fun, there's something behind it. I mean, they just don't pop up and do that. I mean, we see kids who can play all day with kids of all different races and not have any problem at all. So we know that there's somewhere that these kids are hearing these things. And it really is kind of sad that they take it upon themselves to do that. And then he does get some just extremely hateful stuff from adults as well. So, you know, that's there. But then, of course, you get the phone calls that say, oh, man, my kid can't stop talking about the time he had with Santa at the Hayti Center yesterday. And we just wanted to call and thank you for that. So, you know, it's like everything in life. You have your good and your bad. So we just try to deal with it the best we can.
You mentioned several of you. So you're in the documentary?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful.
Now, the funny thing about this is some of my non-Santa activities, I act in the regional theater from now, time to time on stage. Okay. And starting up with this, I've done a couple of movies as background, you know, somebody you might even see in the crowd. You might say, hey, that might be Warren back there, that little speck. But, you know, I was there, right? So Stafford said to me, I don't know if it was in jest or not. He said, you know what? I have to tell you this about Stafford. He loves Christmas movies. I mean, he truly does embody the spirit of Christmas. I mean, he talks about getting excited about the Hallmark Christmas movie season and that kind of thing. Yeah. And he said, Warren, my goal for you is to get you in a movie. You know, just sort of blue, you know. Yes. And now, here I am. I'm in a small documentary. So, I mean, it's not just me, but, you know, there are other Santas there. But it's kind of exciting. And as a matter of fact, this documentary is being considered to be perhaps put up to be nominated for one of the awards, as in short documentary subjects. The movie, I guess that's the Oscars.
Yeah.
But
okay.
This is premature and it may not happen, but it's sort of on, you know, on somebody's radar that this might happen. So that's pretty exciting.
Here's hoping. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So in all of this busyness, how do you, in this busy, busy season, how do you keep refreshed and recharged?
Well, I try to get as much rest as I can because I know it can be grueling. But the good news is once I get to an event, typically I get so energized by the kids coming and the excitement and the parents that are excited gets me going as well. And let me tell you, there's hardly anybody who's more excited than a grandmother who turns the corner and sees Santa there smiling. It's, I mean, there's just pure joy etched across her face. It's a marvelous thing, and that certainly energizes me. So, yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Well, when not attending to your Santa callings, and you've already referenced a little bit here with your work with regional theater movies, but how do you like to spend your time?
Well,
outside of the Santa work.
Well, my wife and I, not too long ago, got a dog. First time for me ever raising a dog from puppy state.
Oh.
So it's almost like having a new kid in the house.
Yes, absolutely.
So that keeps me occupied. I'm the chief dog walk, early morning dog walker. So actually, I think she's helped me get in a better physical shape. So it's a good thing. Also, I narrate audiobooks from time to time.
You have a perfect voice for it, but please tell us more.
Well, thank you. It comes from, I guess, being a ham in radio. I was in broadcast radio for about 10 years. I was a commercial production manager, which meant I wasn't on the air a whole lot, you know, as an announcer, but I was on a bunch of commercials. I used to write probably 90% of the commercials and maybe produce or voice in some way, maybe 80% of the commercials that you'd heard on WQDR back in the old days when it was rock and roll. And I don't know, I guess I never really lost that sort of desire to be on radio or behind in front of a microphone at some capacity. So I started doing some research on how I might narrate or do voiceovers. And then I saw this, the big demand for audiobook narrators. And as a matter of fact, I think it's Amazon who has this project to try to get every book, every ebook that is published also in audio form.
Okay.
So they created ACX or an audio something exchange where authors can connect with narrators and, you know, audition for their pieces and, you know, get paid for the work and post that stuff out there on audible.com and I guess and maybe three other big platforms that you can get audio. So I do that. And that's right. I have a hallway closet is my studio. Coats and shirts and things absorb sound. And then I put up some more baffling and hey, I've got a pretty nice little setup in my closet. Yeah, so if I'm saying I'm coming out of the closet, that just means I finished narrating the book for a while.
That's great.
Wife and I are also active somewhat in social justice things. Specifically right now, we're connected to an organization called One Wake that does a lot of work to try to find out the needs of the community or Wake County, things like, you know, homelessness and transportation and housing and that kind of thing. And they do great advocacy work. So we are involved with that as well. And we have, three grandkids and two great grandkids. So they take up some time as well.
Absolutely. I had several weeks back, I had an author from Toronto. Her name is Rona Maynard. And we were talking about her new book called Starter Dog. She got her first dog. She and her husband married for many, many, many years. And she got her first dog just a few years ago. And she's in her mid-70s. And so it's a beautiful story about Rona, and Casey is the dog's name. So it was fun to chat with her about that. So
I bet. I'm sure she has lots of stories to tell.
Oh, she does. So what's ahead for you? I mean, you've mentioned some of these things, your audio work and, you know, the regional theater. What else is ahead for you?
Gosh, I don't know. I'm you know, I went through my adult career life, three different realms. I was in restaurants for about 10 years. I was in broadcasting for around 10 years. And I was in computer support about 15 to 20 years. So as I move into this phase, I'm thinking, well, what do I want to do when I grow up? So that's the question on the table. For right now, Santa satisfies that. I mean, it's a great thing, and it has, you know, a limited time, so I can do other stuff. My wife and I enjoy travel quite a bit. So, you know, we will go gout. We've been to Egypt, which was a trip of a lifetime, and we've had another trip of a lifetime and went to Tanzania. Wow. So, it's just, you know, we've been quite fortunate in our sort of golden years to have these opportunities. So figure while we can still do that, you know, manage it physically and all of that, let's climb aboard and see what's out there in the world.
Beautiful. I love that. Well, Santa, Warren Keys, it is a delight to talk with you and to hear about this work is just so important, and we need more of this. And so I'm certainly happy to hear how Santa's Just Like Me is starting to branch out more. We will have information about Santa's Just Like Me in our show notes for folks to learn more and to be able to access you all. And we absolutely encourage folks to do so. But again, Santa, Warren Keys, thank you so much for joining us. And I wish you all the best in the time ahead.
Well, thank you, Hugh, and thank you all for listening, and a happy Merry Christmas to all.
You have been listening to Aging Well, Finding Beauty in the Gray. I am author, psychotherapist, and life coach Hugh Willard. To learn more about this podcast, listen to other episodes, and discover resources related to our guests and topics, please go to our website, findingbeautyinthegray.com. If you have comments or questions, or would be interested in sharing your story with us, we'd love to hear from you. Please reach out to us at findingbeautyinthegray.com. Aging Well is produced by Willow Way Creations, with sound engineering by Garrison Locke. Theme music is written and performed by yours truly, with Greg McGee and Garrison Locke. Thanks everyone for joining us. We hope you will be with us again next week.